love it when a plan comes together.
See the questions in your eyes. I know what's weighing on your mind, but you can be sure I know my part. 'Cause I stand beside you through the years. You'll only cry those happy tears. And though I'll make mistakes, I'll never break your heart. I swear by the moon and the stars in the sky, I'll be there. I swear like the shadow that's by your side, I'll be there. I'll love you with every beat of my heart, I swear. I'll give you everything I can. I'll build your dreams with these two hands. We'll hang some memories on the wall. And when there's silver in your hair, you won't have to ask if I still care. 'Cause as time turns the page, my love won't age at all. I swear by the moon and the stars in the sky, I'll be there. I swear, like a shadow that's by your side, I'll be there. For better or worse, till death do us part, I'll love you with every beat of my heart, I swear.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Okay, with any luck, and if I pushed all the right buttons, there should be some sound happening somewhere besides here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is a day, 22nd of May, and it's a Wednesday. Got a lot of things. We cut off early last night for some reason. I don't know what the heck happened, but Monday night. So we lost the last, 15 minutes of the show. But I went back and listened to what we had, and I know just about, thank you, Nan, I know just about exactly where we left off. So I'm going to start off here in just a minute with that particular story. So I just got some word that we've got people listening on TuneIn that are not on the chat. So that's one of the things we need to take into consideration when we're trying to figure out how many people we're reaching there. Is how many's on TuneIn and Zia and some of these other deals. So, okay. There's, hang on 1 second here. All right. There's a couple things I want to try to get to tonight, but we've got a lot to do, so we better get on with it here. Where I left off, I just started a story last night, and it's a pathetic, sickening story. I can't even believe, for those of you that follow me on Facebook, I said I don't even know what planet I'm on anymore. I cannot believe what's happening here. In Minnesota, now everybody, including me, blamed the school for this. And it doesn't look like it's been implemented yet, but it is. They did vote for it. Let me turn this sound off here. Figure out which button to push. There we go. Okay. So this is the Democrats have voted for literally for pornography in elementary schools. This is, what grade is it here? I guess elementary in most places is like first through fifth or first through, it was first through sixth when I went to school. And now I think it's first through fifth, at least it was in New Mexico. And, sixth and seventh was considered junior high. Sixth, seventh, and eighth, I guess. Anyway, whatever it is. The pictures they show in this book that they, this textbook that they have for this, it's like something out of, I can't even believe it. I can't even, it's like something out of a, Penthouse magazine or something, or even worse. I'd like to talk about this, but I'm completely speechless here. I just don't get it. I don't know what in the heck there is to discuss. I can't, but it was Minnesota's House Education Bill, HF 2400. And there's an outfit there in Minnesota called the Child Protection League that tried to warn parents and everybody to call their legislators and try to get them to remove this part from this larger bill before it was debated on last Tuesday. And of course it was debated 2 days before Easter Sunday, and you know, people were distracted and getting kids, you know, back to school after the holidays and vacations and whatever they were doing. So Planned Parenthood's going to provide a curriculum for this. It's called the CSE curriculum, Comprehensive Sex Education, for Minnesota schools, and lobbied hard for this to happen. I can't even fathom this. The Guttmacher Institute was started in 1968 as part of Planned Parenthood. It's expected to be looking at developing a state model policy. And this book that they have in there, it's called It's Perfectly Normal. You know, it is not perfectly normal. The pictures that they're showing here is not even normal conventional sex. I mean, it's things that's not normal. And I'm not even gonna describe what these pictures are like. You can go look it up. But apparently this book was written in 1995, written by a guy who at the time was a member of the Planned Parenthood National Board of Advocates. And it says the new edition of the cover says it's been updated for the 21st century. And that's probably where the majority of the problem's at right there. But all these people that voted on this, see last week's debate, the Republican here put an amendment out to remove that. Every House Republican, except for the three missing members, voted to remove it from the bill. But and two of the Democrats even joined the Republicans. Excuse me. But they were outnumbered. The vote was 58 to 73. All 73 people who think that it's perfectly normal for this to be included in the schools are Democrats. And said some of the Republicans were visibly upset and tried to stop it. You know, the sad thing is a lot of people, most people, don't want to take the time and go to the effort that it takes to homeschool their kids. Now, this will obviously push some of them in that direction. But it needs to push all of them in that direction, into either private school or a homeschool or something. And the administrators for this school, if this gets implemented, or any of these, all the schools, there's more than one school, they need to show up for work one morning and be the only ones there. I would like to see that, Tebow, you're right, Minnesota has a very heavy Muslim influence, but that, I'd like to see, you know, the principal and teachers and everybody show up and say, well, you know, isn't today a school day? Where's everybody at? And I would like to not see any of the kids show up. I know that's a little far-fetched, but that's still what I'd like to see. So, onward and upward here. There's some other things I wanted to talk about here. Let's see. All right, give me just a second here. Check on somebody that's... Huh? Hang on just a second. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, yeah. 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 While I'm looking at this here, I was just reminded that, I went and cleaned up some stuff from a, people called me and said there's somebody had thrown mattresses beside a dumpster over there. I had to get the dumpster, the people won't pick them up, so I had to go pick them up and take them to the dump. And, it was a queen size mattress and two of the little, you know, the little twin box springs that fit underneath the king size mattress. I was going to take it to the dump this morning, and I got all the way over there, and it didn't open till 1. I couldn't wait that long, so I come back over here, and the mattress I had tied down onto the back of my truck. And I slid it off and put it on the trailer with everything else. And, you know, a king-size mattress is pretty heavy. It's a challenge for one man to put those up in the back of a truck or in a trailer or something. And so I slid this thing up on the trailer, laid it on top of the other two little box springs there, the little twin box springs, and went on to town. And when I come back, that king-size mattress was laying on the ground beside the trailer. That's how hard the wind blew here today. If anybody wants to know, I could not even believe when I drove up here and saw that mattress laying up there a couple of feet away from the edge of the trailer and laying completely off of the trailer, you know, on the ground. So that's what happened here today. All right, let's move on here to bigger and better things. Alleged carjacker shot to death by his intended target. Yeah, we got that yesterday. So now here's one. I don't think we got to this. I mean, if you'll have to forgive me if I double up here. These should be hopefully in order. But like I said, we cut off about 12, maybe almost 15 minutes early yesterday. So I'm trying to catch up with that. But one of the last bastions of freedom, as far as guns go, armed citizenry, in Switzerland, they voters have nearly by two-thirds have approved stronger gun control laws. By two-thirds. This, I know there's things going on in the world, and you know, different countries, different places in here and here in the United States that causes people to have emotional reactions to these events. It's hard to believe that Switzerland, of all places, would have such a strong approval of stronger gun control laws. You know, we haven't had, I don't recall, you know, we had the deal that went on in Sweden here a couple of years ago, and Norway. I don't recall ever, of course, I haven't really researched it real hard, but I don't recall ever hearing of a mass shooting or even, I don't know if I've even heard of a, I have heard of some murders because I did research it a little bit several years ago when someone said that there had been, you know, no crime committed. I said, well, I couldn't believe that. If there's guns there, somebody is going to screw up and do something wrong with one of them. But there wasn't much. So, and I could be wrong on that, but I didn't find anything. So it's kind of odd to me that they are getting such a strong approval rating for this. And just so everyone knows, I don't approve. They didn't ask me, and that is the problem with so many things in this world, is they didn't ask me before they implemented this. So maybe they will next time. But they're knocking them down here, one after another. This, I think I talked about this, so I'm just going to talk about it briefly, and then we've got some other things we need to do. Let me see if that's... okay. This was in Florida, and Tebow may have already, and I may have talked about it last night, but in Florida there was an entire police department. Now, it's a small town, of course, 2,500 people. An entire police department, Ball Harbor, in the northern tip of Miami Beach. Small police department that has grand aspirations, they say, of going after international drug traffickers, but they thought they might be able to make a few million dollars here and there while they're at it. So the entire police department, not only the police department, but the Glades County Sheriff's Department, set up a giant money laundering deal here with the goal, or the reported goal, of busting the drug cartels and slowing down this surge of drugs going through the area. But it all fell apart when federal investigators and the Miami Herald found some weird stuff going on. This two-year operation took more than $55 million from criminal groups, resulting in zero arrests, like none, and netted $2.4 million for the police posing as money launderers. So, this, unbelievable. Besides these official uses of the money, confidential records obtained by the Miami Herald show the officers withdrew hundreds of thousands of dollars with no record of where the money went. So there you have it. This is one of the things I want to talk about just briefly tonight. It's an old story, but I wanted to throw it in here anyway. Let me see. I'm going to find out where did it go? There I am. This is an old story, but it claims to be the first ever peer-reviewed study of vaccinated versus unvaccinated kids. It shows that vaccinated kids have a higher rate of sickness and a 470% increase in autism. Now, I have no idea the credibility of this study and everything, but it says the pilot comparative study on the health of vaccinated and unvaccinated 6 to 12-year-old U.S. children. This only included U.S. children, did not include other countries. I got into an argument on Facebook the other day, and the guy said, well, what about all over the world? I said, I don't care all over the world. I mean, I left that out on purpose. I want to know what's going on here. All over the world can take care of themselves. We spend enough time butting into the whole world's problems here. Said the vaccinated children are also more vulnerable to allergies and eczema. Unvaccinated children contract mild childhood diseases more frequently, but their vaccinated counterparts suffer pneumonia and ear infections more frequently. The finding that vaccination introduces a significant risk for autism is devastating to the vaccine industry and therefore will be vigorously attacked. All right, so I'm not going to go through the whole article. Like I said, I don't know. It's a long article and lots of information here. But that's the crux of it right there. He said these findings in the study population of 666 children, 261 of whom were unvaccinated, 39%, are sure to stir up controversy in part because of this. It's the first of its kind, so they don't have anything to compare this to. So when you only have one study out there, you kind of have to be careful, even though it's what we want to believe and that's what we want to share with other people. It may not be entirely credible when we only have one to go by. So, what do you mean? Did I mean Monday night? What did I say? Did I say something wrong? Oh, yeah. Amy said I said last night. Oh, yeah, Monday night, whatever it was I was talking about. You know, we've been thinking about looking at this keto diet. I don't know how many of you have dabbled in this or use it regularly or whatever. We know a couple of people that do, and both of them, two people I think is all that I know anyway, have had remarkable results. And the more I read about it, the more I hear that, you know, some people have remarkable results and some people kind of get sick from it. So we're kind of up in the air as to how we want to proceed with this. But anyway, I speak neither for or against it because I don't know anything about it. But I'm maybe willing to give it a try. We're still researching it a little bit. So if you guys have any information on that and you want to throw it out there, well, feel free. DeTinker says his granddaughter developed eczema after her second set of shots. It's not had any sense. You know, I can say that my kids, all four of them, best I remember, I don't think they have ever been vaccinated for anything. And they're, my oldest is 25, youngest is 19. And best I could remember, they've never had a vaccination of any description. Nan says eat right and exercise, yeah. Well, that's the problem right there. Eating right and exercising. I like donuts too much and exercising is too much trouble. So, that's kind of the problem. But, no, it's not really that bad. I did manage to walk 22 miles the other day. Does that count? That's exercise. That's long enough in one day. It should last me like a year or so. All right, let me get my other deal opened up here. We've got several other things to talk about. By the way, I had a, for those of you knife nuts out there, there is a, there's a new knife out by K-Bar now. It's a new model of an old knife, and it's cheap. And from what it looks like in the picture here, it looks like it may not have, it doesn't have the same blade as the old one, nor the same handle, but the angle is the same. If you look up the K-Bar TDI, Tango Delta India, there's two different sizes of the TDI, and I'm not sure, but I think they've been discontinued, but there's still quite a few of them out there. I've got two of them. The TDI is relatively, it's not quite a 90 degree angle, meaning the knife, you don't hold, the knife doesn't come straight out from the handle. It's not a straight knife like most knives are. You hold the handle and the knife comes out at about probably a 30 degree angle. And what this was designed for, and it has been proven, and I talked about this about a long time, long time ago when I got my first one. About a year after I got my first one, it had been proven to do just exactly what it was invented to do, and that is to protect the gun hand. It's meant to, if someone was to get a hold of your gun hand while either before the draw or after or during the draw, trap the gun hand. This thing is built in such a way that you draw it from your belt like an appendix carry scabbard. At least that's how I rigged mine up, so that you can utilize this with a very powerful stroke, the way it's designed, to protect that gun hand if somebody gets a hold of you. So there's a new one out now, and they're really cheap. This one looks like it doesn't have panels, you know, for the handle, for the grip. It looks like, and I can't really tell from this picture, but it looks like there's not any grip panels for it, or if they are, they're very, very minimal. Short blade, it's got a 2.5 inch fixed blade, down to a spear point type blade with a plain edge. It's not serrated. It's built as a type of a neck knife. Now, I'm not a real big fan of neck knives, but this might not be a bad thing just to keep around for that, you know, that rare occasion when it may come in handy. Their normal selling price, and this is K-Bar, this is not some knockoff. Normal selling price is $10. Right now they're on sale for $7.99. And not a bad deal. You can get them from a place called, you can probably get them all over the place. You know, Amazon may have them, I don't know. But you can get them at this price from primaryarms.com. Primaryarms, one word, .com. So, if... be a neat little thing just to add to your knife collection anyway. All right, let's carry on here. Let me roll back up here to where my stopping point was yesterday. You know what? It's break time. Maybe I can organize this stuff just a little bit. If I can take just a minute and get this straightened up. Actually, what I kind of thought about doing, and I've thought about it before, and I never do, I want to start playing a couple of songs through, you know, like at the quarter hour and three-quarter hour, and get a little breather here, but never seems to work out. But that's kind of my plan anyway. We'll see what happens. Let me, let's see. How about let's play a song right now? That sounds like a good thing. Bear with me a minute. I was not prepared. All right. Let's do this while we're waiting.
I'll be back.
I was getting kind of tired of her in the chatter. Nothing I could say ever seemed to matter. So I took a little drive just to clear my neon up ahead. It looked like
like a place to find some satisfaction with a little less talk and a lot more action. I paid the man at the door and pushed my way to the bar. Shouted for a drink over a screaming guitar. Drug on the stew, tried to mess with my head, but I didn't even listen to a word he said. I knew somewhere amid all this distraction was a little less talk and a lot more action. Little less talk, if you please. A lot more loving is what I need. Let's get on down to the main attraction with a little less talk and a lot more action.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, let's see if we can finish this up here. You know, before we get into this, I posted a meme today. I stole it from somebody and put it on my page. And it is probably one of the most correct descriptions of what's going on right now, and it's not the first time that it's happened. But the guy named, and I think this is pronounced right, Werner, if it's German, it would be Werner, I guess, Herzog. And I've heard that name before. I'm not sure what he is, what his purpose in life is, but if he did in fact write this, it's perfectly accurate. It says, "Dear America, you are waking up, as Germany once did, to the awareness that one-third of your people would kill another third while one-third watches." Think about that a little bit. All right, let's... Okay, one of the things that I want to... Nan's looking for that knife. I found it. What did I say it was? What did I say the website was? I already forgot. It was something. Yeah, primaryarms.com. Well, if Nan's having trouble, let me run over here real quick to primaryarms.com and let's see if it does in fact exist. I hope it does, because I wouldn't mind adding one to my meager collection of sticky, pointy things. Okay, Palmetto State Armory, Primary Arms, Primary Arms LLC. Let's look at that one right there. Let's check this out. Okay, oh, that's Twitter. I don't want to go to Twitter. Only twits go to Twitter. Although, if I can scroll down through their Twitter page here real quick, I don't see what I'm looking for. So let's go back over here. Let's see, that's Twitter, Primary Arm. Let's do this. Let's put Twitter.com and let's put, PrimaryArms.com and put TDI in there. K-bar TDI. And let's see what happens. K-bar Knives Superstore. That's not what I'm looking for. There it is, right there. I'll put a link in here for you, Nan. Found it already. Let this open up and make double sure that's where. Yep, that's it. $7.99 in stock. K-Bar TDI Shark Bite Neck Knife, 2.6 inches. Fixed blade, spear point, plain edge, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Blade, handle, and sheath made from Ultramid. Oh, this is a polymer knife. That's even better. Boy, no wonder it's $7.99. Yes, I've got to have me one of these. I've got a few polymer knives. Well, they're not polymer, actually. They're fiberglass reinforced nylon. When you absolutely must take something into a non-permissive environment, when you're afraid, you know, metal detectors or whatever may compromise anything else that you have, then this would be a wonderful thing to have with you, just to have something. I've talked before about the cold steel honeycomb, and that is a functional hairbrush. And you grab a hold of the brush of it. It's got a round brush on it. Grab that and grab the handle and pull them apart. And you have an extremely stout, pokey thing in there. It's about a 3.5, probably, maybe even 4-inch, knife in there. And, this is the K-Bar TDI Shark Bite Knife, specifically designed for self-defense with a durable sheath made out of synthetic material called Ultramid and an epoxy-coated ball chain for wearing around your neck. This knife is ready to use at a moment's notice. The sheath uses a snap-lock design that provides enough retention to keep the knife in place all day long. And with a sharp tug, the fixed blade knife is free and ready to use. The spear point blade combined with the handle shape makes this nice optimal for push cuts, and the Ultramid material provides a sharp, durable edge. That's right, this blade is made of the same synthetic material as the sheath. This reinforced polymer material is known for its high mechanical strength, stiffness, lightweight, making it a great knife to carry all day. Yeah, I'm thinking I need one of these. John Benner of the Tactical Defense Institute designed this neck knife based on his 33 years of experience as a police officer. Okay, well, that's enough of all that. Let me put this... and Nan says she beat me. Well, for the rest of you, that are looking for this knife, there it is. I just put it in the chat room. If you want to do a search for it, go to primaryarms.com. I put primaryarms.com, K-bar TDI, and that's what I come up with. Okay. $7.99. All right, let's move on. I tell you what I want to do, and I want to do this probably Monday. The way it stands right now, well, I hate to tell you this. I may have another Live Liberty Lounge Friday. I'm hoping to. But anyway, whether I do or don't is irrelevant because Monday we're going to approach a brand new, not brand new, a different preparedness subject. And this subject, we've talked about different aspects of it before. but not in the manner that I'm going to talk about it Monday. So tune in, and this topic is the very most important of your long-term preparedness items. And I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, because I want you to tune in Monday night. So Monday at 9 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, Arizona time, we're going to spend quite a bit of time on that. I hope you'll find it interesting. So, there you have it. Let's get back over here to where we were at and what we were doing. Texas has voted to repeal a weapons ban, restore Second Amendment rights to access to clubs and brass knuckles and whatnot. After all this time in the 21st century, Texas still has a ban on the possession, manufacture, transportation, repair, and sale of knuckles, and the ban of carrying a club. Do you believe you can't carry a club in Texas? It says these bans clearly infringe the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Texas continues to defer to federal law on the regulation of explosive weapons, machine guns, short-barreled firearms, and firearm sights. So what does that have to do with carrying a club? They will continue to ban armor-piercing ammunition, chemical dispensing devices, zip guns, and a tire deflation device. That sounds easy enough to define, not. Anyway, says they did it with switchblades, we did it with knives, and now with knuckles. It takes effect September 1st of 2019. You know, they passed our, we have an honest-to-goodness seatbelt law here now, and they're going to be staked out and watching for it here over the Memorial Day holiday, trying to save lives. You know, that's really none of their concern. You know, it's nice of them to be concerned about it, but it's none of their concern. If you want to drive without a seatbelt and risk it, well, that's up to you. But I tried to get in the habit of wearing my seatbelt. I wore it most of the day today, which I don't usually. But I just don't want the interaction with the powers that be, so I'm trying to avoid that by doing what I'm supposed to do at least sometimes. But the nunchuck thing, remember we talked about that the other day? Oh, no, not that. The texting law. The texting law, it's illegal now to text in the whole state of Arizona. It previously was not until just a few days ago. And I think Amy talked about this. The law doesn't even go into effect until January of 2021. So there, you can get stopped and get warnings for it between now and then. But the first offense of that is $149. Second and subsequent offenses are $249, if I remember correctly. So remember the first offense in that California law we talked about was $399. And second offense was, I don't know, like $1,000 or something. I was just stupid. So let's look here. This is also an older story. It's not that old. It's, you know, 6-8 months old. But I missed this somehow. We've talked numerous times about, and I've never understood, why it would be illegal to share food with homeless people. That's one of the many things that just leaves me totally speechless. Why do you care? Why does it matter? Are you worried about, you know, bacteria, undercooked food? So you'd rather them starve to death than take a chance on somebody giving them some bad food? I don't know what it is. I don't know why. It makes no sense whatsoever. But we have talked, I don't know how many times, about people that have been arrested, threatened with arrest, had their stuff shut down and removed physically because they were feeding people on the streets. And so this decision here was laced with quite a few colorful examples here. It talked about, Boston Tea Party and Lady Macbeth and Jesus himself. The 11th U.S. Court of Appeals ruled on Wednesday. Now, like I said, this story is from August of last year, that feeding the homeless is expressive conduct protected by the First Amendment. Now, I wouldn't have thought it, I wouldn't have thought it under the First Amendment, but who cares? They put it under some amendment as long as they let them do it. So this revives a challenge brought by a local chapter of Food Not Bombs, which sued Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for requiring a permit to share food in public parks. Requiring a permit. It's all about the money, folks. It's all about the money, honey. It's they don't care whether these people live or die. They don't care what you do as long as you pay for it. And all of these people that have these big rallies and protests and everything, and everybody runs down to the courthouse and gets a permit so you can do it. You get a permit, you're paying to exercise your First Amendment right on public property. Somehow that doesn't completely add up for me. I don't quite get it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. It's all about the money. That's all it is. So, there you have it. Let's see here. Let me go back, check chat room, see what's going on here. Good, Tebow. Thank you for that. And Nan beat everybody. She's already got one ordered there. I think I might get a couple of those. All right, where are we at? We are right here. All right. You know, Montana's a pretty good state. I like Montana a lot there. I like their wide open country. I like their relatively sparse population. I like the speed limits, the gun laws. You know, I like Montana a lot. But this cancer called liberalism is spreading. And we saw it spread all the way to Switzerland tonight, right? So I guess no big surprise it would have spread to Montana. But it says here that Missoula, Montana, has the Missoulian, the paper there, has fired the first shot in the Liberals' campaign against LR 130 and a couple of other bills here that's... Anyway, this paper says that basically that the city of Missoula should be allowed to experiment with gun control. It should be allowed to experiment. Oh, so you just want to try it out? You know, sure, go ahead. Let's see how it works for you. So here's a, who is this written by? Excuse me, again. Okay, here's this guy's response to this. This guy wrote this article. He said, if you don't have access to it, here's his response. How long is it? Oh my goodness. It's maybe longer than I want to read. Well, anyhow, I'll read part of it. It says, the Missoulian believes that the city of Missoula should be allowed to enact gun control ordinances, notwithstanding the Montana and U.S. Constitution's reservation of the right to keep and bear arms to individual people. The particular gun control ordinance the Missoulian supports under this laboratory of democracy theory requires that individuals seek and obtain prior government approval before they may legally transfer a firearm. Given this Missoulian position, one supposes that the Missoulian would also support a Missoula ordinance requiring prior government approval before publishing an editorial or news story, despite the freedom of the press mentioned in our constitutions. Many good reasons for such an ordinance. Dangerous people and activities may be inflamed by irresponsible media. It could save lives, maybe even children's lives, if a committee of the city council had a week to ponder the content of an editorial or news story before granting or withholding permission for publication. I would oppose such an ordinance as a violation of reserved constitutional right, but it appears that the Missoulian has tacitly agreed to step out onto that slippery slope with its poorly considered support for local gun control. So, that's what's going on in Montana right now. That's what's going on in Switzerland, right? That's going on everywhere right now. So, make sure that you tune in Monday. Like I said, we're going to skip a lot of the news unless there's something really... Oh, by the way, have you guys been watching what's going on in Kansas and Oklahoma and North Texas and all that? It's been had some pretty exciting weather out there. I haven't studied it real closely, but I feel for those people because they get hammered so often out there. And fortunately, I did experience a couple of hurricanes while I was in Texas, and I've seen... Within half a mile. I've been that close to, I think, 3 tornadoes. And it's pretty exciting. You know, it's pretty ominous. But I have never had, you know, my home destroyed or any of that kind of stuff. And I spent a lot of time in Oklahoma, a lot of time in Texas, hell of a lot of time in Texas. So I'm fortunate that I never was right in the path of any of those, but I did see them and see what they could do. They hit a couple of jobs that we had. We came close. I forgot about that. We were hanging steel on the. I was in Katy, Texas. Remember Katy Brad that used to be on the show here once in a while in the chat room. That's where he's from, and it was the. OSI building, Ocean Systems Incorporated or something like that. Anyway, we were hanging steel up there. We were like 3 stories up, and a tornado was coming. And boy, we slid down those beams and got out of there right quick. And it did tear up a little bit of stuff, but that was the closest I ever came. It didn't immediately affect me. I felt the wind blowing. I didn't have anything, you know, threatening to tear my head off or anything. We got far enough away from that building and everything. Fast enough that you know, nobody got hurt or anything. But I know what it's like. I know what it feels like. I know what it looks like. I've seen what it'll do, and I really feel for those people in the Midwest that's going through this stuff. So anyway, that's all I got to say about that, and that's really about all I got to say about anything. So I think I'm going to start easing towards the door here and get ready for Monday. And I hope you all are intrigued enough with what I've said about Monday. Remember, I said it's the most important thing, most important preparedness item above guns, medical, communications, food. And I hope that piques your interest enough that you'll come and visit me on Monday and we'll talk about that some more. So until then, if I can make this thing work right, there we go. All right. So until then, I guess I'll just tell you hasta lumbago and I'll see you. You know that's not right, right? I guess if you don't know a little bit of Spanish, you wouldn't know what that's supposed to be. Hasta luego is the way it's supposed to be. But all my life I've messed with people, especially the Mexicans, by saying hasta lumbago when I say goodbye sometimes. So that's your stupid little trivia fact for the night there. So with all that being said, I'm going to disappear out of here, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.